we are going to try to identify a theme which does go through three parshiot, not just Vayelech, and not just, it's also Nitzavim, Vayelech, and Tazinu. It's the same concept, but let's start towards the end of Vayelech, source number one. Vayitzav Moshe et Leviim, Nosei Aron Brit Hashem Lemor, Lokeach et Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, V'samtetom Yitzad Aron Brit Hashem Lokeichem, V'yashem V'chol La'ed. So take the Torah, this Torah, and it will be placed within the ark, and it will be for there. And what is the word aid? How would you translate aid in this context? As testimony. Kinochi adati, I know, et meriacha, I know that you have this tendency to rebel, vit orpecha hakashe, and your stiff neck, hein bodenu chayimachem hayom amrim hayitem imashem, va'af ki achare moti. Moshe laments that the time I've been here with you, you've been rebellious, and he's quite confident that they're going to continue to be rebellious after he's no longer with them. Hakilu elai, gather in front of me, et kol ziknei shivteichem v'shotreichem, all of the elders of your tribes, and the shotrim, those who will implement, va'adabra ba'azneim et hadvarim ha'ele, va'aida bam et ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz. And I'm going to call heaven and earth as witness. So what we had a moment before was placing the Torah in the ark as a testimony, and now we have the heaven and earth being called upon as being witness. And then Moshe says, "Ki yadati acharei moti ki ashchit tashchitun v'sartem min haderech asher tziviti etchem v'karat etchem hara'a ba'achrit hayamim ki tasu et hara b'nei Hashem l'achiso b'maseh yideichem." And Moshe then reads this entire song. Now, there's a question what the song is. Is this the introduction then to Hazinu? Is this the completion of Vayelech? Are they related? So as I said, the theme certainly does continue. Rashi, in source number 2, Vayida Bamet Hashemayim Et Aretz, where we call upon heaven and earth as testimony, V'im Tomar Harek Farhi Id Lamala. So Rashi says, hold it a second. We already had that in Parshat Nitzavim. So again, just those of you confused, which Parsha we're on, so we started by Vayelech, we went back to Nitzavim, and don't worry, in a moment we will be getting to Hazinu. And there it said, so before we read the Rashi, we can read the verse if you just let your eyes go down to source number 3, Ha'idoti b'chem hayom et ha'shamayim et ha'aretz. I call upon heaven and earth as testimony, as witness. Hachaim v'mavet natati lefanecha bracha v'klala uvacharte b'chayim leman tichya ata v'zarecha. Over here, what I wanted you to note is exactly what Rashi notes. Rashi says, "Oh, this idea of calling heaven and earth as to attest or as witnesses, exactly what the purpose is, we'll try to explain as we move on." So let's go back to Rashi. If you're going to ask, we've already had this testimony before. And now he is saying it to the Shemayim. Now, if you notice what Rashi just now did, is that he uses this as the introduction to the next verse, which is Hazinu. So therefore, there it says, Hazinu Shemayim Va'aretz. So again, if you want to look at source number 6, Hazinu HaShemayim Va'adabera Va'tishma Aretz Imreifi. So Rashi is saying, the fact that Moshe is calling out to heaven and earth, those of you who would have said that this is exclusively poetic license, that we've gone into some kind of a poetry, and therefore Moshe is calling on heaven and earth, as it were, no. As I said, this is a theme which already, it was last week, it's this week, it's next week, and what Rashi just now did is he sort of brought it together, and the way that Rashi tried to nuance it was saying, again, let's look at the Rashi one more time. He said, Hatam Yisrael Amar, there it was speaking to the Jewish people, Aval L'Shamayim V'Aretz Lo Amar, he did not turn to heaven and earth as the witnesses themselves, which he's doing now. But what he means now is not the verses that Rashi is explaining, because you can argue the verses that Rashi is explaining is quite the opposite, is talking, not, by the way, not to Israel, but to the leaders. It's more narrow. He's speaking to the leaders over here. But it really, according to Rashi, what it comes out, in front of the leaders, he then turns and he says, Hazinu Shemayim Ba'aretz. So for Rashi, what we have over here at the end of our Parsha is really the introduction to next week's Parsha. Okay? But as I said, that's the simpler part. The specific issue which is taking place is the testimony of heaven and earth. And of course the question is, for what purpose? The Chizkuni, back an hour, Pasuk, Ve'ida Bam Et HaShemayim Ve'et HaAretz, source number 4, Zoma semamash, ula el shamariot ibachem ayom etashmaim vetaaretz, in rak sipur dvarim. So, according to the Chizkuni, the way that he divides the two, because again, he's sensitive to the same point. Why do we have what could be called repetition? So he's saying there, it was just told as a narrative, meaning it didn't happen yet. There, it's being told this is what's going to happen, and it's actually being implemented over here. Okay, by the way, which is not all that far from what Rashi is saying, but as I said, he nuanced it. Let's make believe there were no divisions between the Parshia. Calling upon heaven and earth as testimony is being done more than once, although in Hazinu, it doesn't say, I call heaven and earth as testimony, unless you look in Rashi. Then, again, I could say that Hazinu is full of poetry. And I could have said there is poetic license. Rabbeinu Bachai, source number 5. Va'ida bam et shemayim v'et ha'aretz, yom al zeh ha'pasuk, Hazinu ha'shemayim v'tishma ha'aretz. Again, just the flow between the end of our parsha and the beginning of Hazinu. Ha'ida bam et shemayim v'et ha'aretz, I call upon heaven and earth, and therefore, Hazinu shemayim v'aretz. Listen, heaven and earth, Hazinu shemayim v'tishma ha'aretz, shehu atid laskir miyad, v'ata ha'id lahem aleim b'sof dvarav, et ha'shemayim v'ta'aretz. He calls upon heaven and earth to testify. K'mi she'machtim ha'idim b'sof hashtar, ala devrim v'atna'im shenu beino uvein chavero. When you make a contract, at the end or the bottom of the contract, you have somebody witness it, somebody put their signature. So he says, that's what's going on over here. This is the witnessing being attested to at the end of the parsha. V'chein amar lamala, and therefore it similarly says above, ha'idoti b'chem ha'yom ha'tashmayim v'ta'aretz, ki ha'kol inyan echad, v'kol ha'parshiyot kulan, b'yom echad ne'emru. Rabbeinu Bachai said, those of you who don't have a chumash in front and are getting confused, he said, all of this was said in one day. This is part of one speech. This is really one statement. Which again, but why are we repeating the statement? But he seems to be saying, don't be troubled by that. This is the testimony. This is the witnesses affixing their signature at the very end. And this is really one theme. Moving over now to Ha'azinu, Hazinu Shemayim Vadebera, Vatishma Aretz Imrifi, Rashi writes, Sha'ani matreba hem b'Yisrael v'tiyu atem edim b'davar. Shekach amarti lahem shatem tiyu edim v'chein tishma aretz v'lo ma'id b'hem shemayim v'aretz amar Moshe. Why? Finally the question. Why is he calling upon heaven and earth to testify? Amar Moshe. Ani basav radam. I am but flesh and blood. L'machar ani meit. And tomorrow I'll be dead. This is not, by the way, this is not poetic license. This is the real thing. L'machar ani meit. Im yomru Yisrael lo kibalnu aleinu habrit. Mi bal machisham. If the Jews come and say, what contract? Right? An old Jewish custom. Right? What contract? I don't recall signing anything. Right? Do you have witnesses? L'fichach. He id bahim shemayim ba'aretz. And therefore, he called upon heaven and earth to testify against them. So what was the JPS translation? Against. Right, so there you see they're following Rashi, or they have the same sensibility as Rashi, but it's idu shemayim ba'aretz, it's against Am Yisrael, that just in case you try to creep out of your obligations, realize that I may not be here, Moshe says, I'm not going to be there to yell at you, but heaven and earth are standing as witness. Eidim shehim kaimim la'olam, witnesses who will exist forever. Va'od she'im zach yizku yavo eidim v'itnu scharam. Hagefen titein peria, va'aretz titein yivula, va'shemayim v'itnu talam, ve'im yitchayvu tiyeh bahim yad ha'idim tchila, and if if you behave, first of all, then Earth will be giving some of its bounty as reward. But as it says in the Torah, that the witnesses are the first ones to come and cast the first stone. But Sarat Hashemayim v'lo yematar v'adama lo titenet yivulav achakan v'vadatemira ayidei umot. So this part of the commentary, by the way, that Rashi says, it was said earlier by Rav Sadia Gaon. If you look in source number 9, you have the Ibn Ezra quoting Rav Sadia. V'kfar hodiacha she hagaon omer, the gaon again is Rav Sadia Gaon, tam hashamayim hamalachim. What does shamayim mean? It means emissaries of the heavenly spheres. V'tam ha'aretz anshei ha'aretz, and that means people on earth. O eidut hageshem hayared min hashamayim. So what he did is that I bring heaven and earth as witness. So heaven and earth as witness, what he's saying, is not in the way that Rashi started to say, but it's very, as Rashi ended up getting towards, as heaven and earth are going to be the witness, because what did we see as a theme earlier on in the book of Devarim? Right? Something, a hint, we say in Parshat Ekev, we say it every day, a couple times a day. V'haya im shamoa. Anybody ever notice that that is im shamoa? It's not a guarantee, it's im shamoa. I don't know if any of you have ever had the opportunity, but the second part, when it says that when you deviate from God's word and you do all these negative things, you know what the Ashkenazim have a custom, that when we read the Tochacha, we read it in a soft voice, we don't read it loud. In the Chalabi tradition, maybe others started them as well, that when they get in Shema every day, they read the Shema out loud. When they get to the part which is negative, they read that in a soft voice, just like the Tochacha. That's something which should not, or we prefer not to say out loud. But that's what Ibn Ezra's quote of the Sadia Gaon is saying. What does it mean that I call heaven and earth as the witness? Is that not as some kind of objects? No, as nature. Nature is going to respond. See, that itself is interesting. Nature is going to respond to the behavior of the Jewish people. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. So what is Mother Nature? Mother Nature is Midat Hadin. No, it's worse than that. Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem is beyond nature. Hashem Rachamim is beyond. Mother Nature is, that's a whole other thing over here. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. The earth was created with Midat Hadin. And that's really the Rashi all the way back by the Seret HaDivrot. Vaydaber Elokim, it's called Jerma El Lemor. Right? Dayin Hu Lipara. That's what Rashi says. God is a judge who will take vengeance. Which means that what this is saying is that heaven and earth are created as emissaries of God. Right? You know, we see them as inanimate objects. But heaven and earth are created as emissaries of God. And when the Jews follow the will of God, what will happen? We will have rain in the proper season. And when we don't do the will of God, what will happen? We will not have rain. We will not have rain in the proper season, and we won't have water, and we won't have produce, and we won't therefore have sustenance, we won't have money, and we won't have quality of life, and so on and so forth. So over here, the way that the Rav Sadia Gaon is understanding, Hazinu Shemayim Va'aretz, I'm calling on heaven and earth as a testimony, not just as witnesses. And back to Rashi, who's going to throw the first stone because they're signed on this, and therefore this purpose of the testimony becomes very different from what we would have imagined otherwise. So, continue, the Ibn Ezra himself then writes, V'nachon b'nai ki ekar ba'avur hayotem omdim la'olam. He says, but to me, it makes more sense to say that, again, going back now to the first part of Rashi, Moshe saying, I'm here today, I'm gone tomorrow. Ibn Ezra comes back and says, well, that seems to make more sense to me. So basically, Ibn Ezra and Rashi have the same two comments. They just sort of inverse them from one another. The Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, saying what he said in source number 9. And then he says, as he is wont to do, source number 8 of the Ramban, V'al derech ha'emet, Hema shemayim v'aretz harishonim haneskim b'bereshit, ki hem yavo b'brit im Yisrael. Al kain, amar sheyazinu shemayim v'yishmu hatnaim ve'eich ya'aseh bahem. Going all the way back, and I think this is what he's hinting to is what I had said before about heaven and earth having to do with, from the very beginning, midat hadin, from the very beginning of creation, having been there, and therefore, just like we are created, they are created, and it's part of the same divine ecosystem. And therefore, there is this interaction that works together between the behavior of the Jewish people and how nature works. And that seems to be what the Ramban, of course, in his mystical side, seems to be leaning towards. He seems to be saying, Hazinu Shemayim Va'aretz, listen and be sensitive to whatever the Jews do, and therefore respond accordingly. Source number 10, moving over to a proper Galiziana, so that we know who Rav Yaakov Loberbaum is, the Nesivus. He knew how to learn. Okay, let's put it this way. You mentioned Volozhin before. So in Volozhin, which was a nice Litvish yeshiva, they would make fun of the Galizianas, probably how they talked and how they thought and so on. But ironically, among the greatest of what we would call the foundation of what's later known as the Brisker and the Litvisher thinking goes back to some Galiziana thinkers, from the Minchas Chinuch to the Nesivus to the Shagas Aryeh, and we can go on, all Galizianas. But I said, the Nesivus is one of them, and here's his commentary in the Torah. Hazino Hashemayim va'adabera v'tishma ha'aretim rifi, Rashi, pirishetiyu edim b'davar v'hu tamua, shakadosh baruch hu, hu ha'ed, hu ha'baldin. Why are we playing games over here? Why are you bothering me with heaven and earth and then so what? It's God. He's cutting through everything. What are we talking about over here? God does not need to subcontract. And he says, right, l'chein nira de kavanato ki bal chovot halvavot katav shemadregat hateva mehatora ki madregat ha'eved mi'adonav. That to understand that teva, nature, that's why I go back again to Midat Hadin, that teva is as a servant to the master. Vizel she'amar kan b'shem Hashem, hazino shemayim v'adaber mekloma she'chriach ha'shemayim, vizel she'amar kan b'shem Hashem, hazino shemayim v'adaber mekloma she'chriach ha'shemayim v'kochavim, she'inugu al pi ha'torah v'ha'mitzvah, v'hitviya kach b'tiv'am, she'inugu al pi ma'aseh b'nei adam. So in case you thought I was being a little carried away in how I said it in the Ramban, I just wanted you to see that he says it black and white, what I was hinting at, what I thought the Ramban was hinting at, it's black and white over here. In the sense is that the behavior of man is reflected by the way that nature responds. And that's Hazinu Shemayim V'Ha'aretz. The behavior of nature will respond to man's behavior. Well, God creates Teva as his servant, and tells the servant, these are the rules that you must obey. Now, there is a side point, and the first reason for us going here right now is initially as simple as the fact that I have to give a Shabbat Shuvah. You're only getting 40%. Sorry, that's a while. That gets Pesach fears in people. Halavai people should have as much fear of Yom Kippur as they have of Pesach. But okay. right. No, Pesach is much more than Yom Kippur. Anyway, we go away. Okay. So, there is a strange, highly debatable passage, how to understand it, in the Rambam, that also brings testimony within the middle of this whole thing about tshuva. And we're going to start, we're going to go there, we're going to look at a couple of commentaries on that, and then somehow, we're going to find ourselves back in the parsha. But how we get there is going to be a mystery till we get there. Yeah. Now, okay, all that I'll say about that is, I'll make one observation. All the people that do that, if there never was a bad thing happened, they would still be saying it. Which means, the thing is not that they think that nature responds to, or nature is working for God, they seem to think nature is working for them. Yeah, that's generally what's a little bit more disturbing. Whatever their pet peeve is, miraculously, whatever, right? Miraculously, somehow God is working for them, and which means that the fact that God may use nature or uses nature in order to give punishments should not be something which is so disturbing. The disturbing thing is that when they, you know, really pigeonhole and say, you know, this is exactly the reason why God did it, and they always seem to know. So that becomes more disturbing. I'm not going to engage this more than necessary right now. I'll just say is that there is an ongoing, the reason it's ongoing, they both died hundreds of years ago, but there is an ongoing argument which will never be resolved between the Ramban and the Rambam, Nachmanides, Maimonides, Rambam, Ramban, regarding to what extent God micromanages, to what extent God just creates nature and then nature has certain rules to it. It would be very interesting to see how the Rambam would read some of these things versus the Ramban, who believes that God absolutely micromanages, where the way that he'll say it, the extreme way, that every single leaf has an angel which controls that particular leaf. So what you have is real micromanaging from the Ramban and macro, and it's macro even to the extent that God creates nature, and I don't want to go so far as to say and then abandons it, but here's the problem with both. The Rambam would say that God has the capacity, if he chose, to be involved in nature any time that God wanted to, and therefore when God doesn't get involved, one can still ask, according to the Rambam, so why did God not get involved in this particular case? So therefore, even though initially it sounds like the Ramban and the Rambam are very, very different from one another, once you ask, you flip it around on the other way, then the distance between them, I don't know how profound it really is at the end of the day. Again, the Ramban is saying that God is actively dealing with each thing, while the Rambam just saying, no, God sets nature, but he can get involved every time. So if you can get involved and you don't get involved, you still have moral culpability. So does it make a difference if God is actively doing it or just has moral culpability for not preventing it? I'm not sure exactly why that should be. Anybody understand what I just now said?
Yes.
Okay. No, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Yes or no? You did or no, you didn't? So I'm not sure exactly at really the end of the day, despite people teaching in Jewish philosophy, oh, look how different the two approaches are, I'm not so sure that the approaches are as different as we like to believe they are. Okay, when the Rambam discusses tshuva, so we'll start with the Rambam's introduction to tshuva, which is source 11. He has 10 chapters on tshuva. His introduction is mitzvat aseh achat, there's one positive commandment, v'hu sheyeshuva chotei michato, and that is that the sinner shall return from their sin, lefnei Hashem, in front of God, v'yitvadeh, and they should confess. Now, the truth is that one line is very, very rich, and we could spend an entire class on that one line. I will just point out one or two things about it before we get to our next part. The Rambam over here, first of all, makes a value judgment, which is very non-PC, because he calls the person a sinner. Right? V'hu sheyeshuv hachotei mecheto. What exactly is tshuva? Tshuva is when the sinner, who needs to stop doing their sin, v'hu sheyeshuv hachotei mecheto, by the way, most of the words in that sentence are involved in that idea, who sheyeshuv achotei mecheto, that the sinner shall return from their sin, which means, what's the first trick of tshuva? Stop doing what you're doing. Shehu sheyeshuv achotei mecheto, the first thing is that you need to stop doing what you're doing, but yeshuv, now the problem is, what does yeshuv mean over here? Lefnei Hashem, in front of God, vayitvadeh, and they need to verbalize, they need to confess it. Now, the Rambam starts like that, then he spends the whole first chapter on a side point. Actually, this whole comma and the diktuk were taken from the Yemenite tradition of the Rambam, as it's taken from a Yemenite tradition of the Rambam. There are slight differences which I put in parentheses. The Rambam then goes in the whole first chapter and sidesteps tshuva, which means the question that comes up in source 12, halfway down source 12, where it says either Gimel or Bet, Gimel for the Yemenites, Bet for the rest of us, Umahi ha tshuva, and what is tshuva? That's real interesting, because we're in Perek Bet, Halacha Bet, or Gimel, and the Rambam has been talking about tshuva for a while, and now we finally have a question. Oh yeah, by the way, so what is tshuva? So the whole first chapter, the Rambam really did... Okay, I'll put it this way. What the Rambam did is he looked for the biblical basis of tshuva. The biblical basis of tshuva is vidui, which is said together with the korban, which means you have a whole book of Chumash that deals with fixing things, and that's the book of Vayikra. And the Rambam chooses to use that as his starting point. From there, we don't get to tshuva itself independently until we get to the second chapter. And now he finally says, so what is tshuva? Now let's pay attention. Umahi atshuva. So what is tshuva? Hu she'azov achote cheto. So what's the first thing? By the way, notice how this whole halacha will be echoed in this little phrase that was before, which kind of makes you wonder, so what's the other 10 chapters other than this one law about? Okay? Hu she'azov achote cheto. So one is that the sinner shall abandon their sin. Azov. What does azov mean? Leave. Right? Ya'azov hachotei chato. The sinner shall leave their sin. And then either vayasiru, which is our tradition, or the Yemenite vayasirenu, which is, again, the Yemenite read, vayasiro mimach shavato, and he should eradicate the thoughts of the sin from his mind. Vayigmor belibo, shelo yaseu od. Vayigmor belibo, shelo yaseu od. And he shall, what does vayigmor belibo mean? Vayigmor, finalize, make this final decision. Vayigmor belibo, do you have a better word in English? Not yet. Vayigmor belibo, resolve. Vayigmor belibo shelo yaseu od. And this person makes this firm decision, resolve, he will not do this again. Shenema yazov rasha darko v'ish avin machshavatav. As it says that a wicked person should leave that path of wickedness. And by the way, notice v'ish avin machshavotav, and the thoughts as well. So the Rambam here succeeded in bringing a verse which really got to the various elements of part. V'chen yinachem al sha'avar. And additionally, as long as it's not a pacemaker, you know, then I'm okay. V'chen yitnachem al sha'avar. And the person should have regret of the past. Shenemar, as it says, and again he brings a verse, ki acharei shuvi nichamti, after I've returned to al sha'avar, but it has to do with what he has done. Shenemar acharei shuvi nichamti. Again, the Yemenites throw in the rest of the verse, v'acharei hivadi safakti al yarech. V'ya'id alav yodea ta'alumot. And here I have a difficulty in how to translate this. V'ya'id, what does V'ya'id mean?
Witness.
So here's where we've come back to our point of witness. This is why we're here. V'ya'id alav yodea ta'alumot, and the knower of all that is secret shall attest, shelo yashuv lezecheit lolam, that this person will never return back to this sin again. Shenemar, v'lo nemar od elokeinu lemaaseh yadeinu, asher becha yurcham yatom. Again, the parentheses are from the Yemenites. V'tzarech letvadot b'sfatav, v'lo mar inyanot elu shagamar b'libo. Okay, now, what's scary about this particular formulation of the Rambam, what is it that he said? He said that the person needs to stop sinning. He said that the person should take it out of their mind. He said a person should accept in the future they'll never do it again. The person needs to regret what they have done. And then we have this other element, which we're not exactly sure what to do with. This other element is, and the knower of all secrets needs to attest that this person will never do this again. Now, that itself presents for us, at least at face value, something which is very, very difficult. And that is, what is the situation if you do it again? So if you do it again, that means that this was false testimony, which therefore means that this was not really sincere. That means that the person really did not do tshuva. That means that nothing was forgiven. And that means that the way that we would look at this, the conclusion we would have is that all of this was just simply for naught, and maybe therefore is similar to the next halacha. Kol ha-mitvadeh b'dvarim, anybody who says vidui, v'lo gamar b'libo la'azov, but now the flip side, and they didn't decide that they're never going to do it again. They didn't have that resolve. Harei zadom la'tovav, the sheretz v'yado. That's like going into the mikveh and you're holding on to something which is tameh. She'ena tefillah mo'elet, that immersion doesn't help. Ad she'ishlich ha'sheretz, till he throws it away, the thing. V'cheinu omer modu v'zav yucham, etzerch lefrot et ha'chet she'nemar, ona chata ha'am hazeh chata gdula, and so on and so forth. Which means what the Rambam is saying over here is that, and again, this is what it sounds like, that the only way that tshuva actually, quote-unquote, works is if God will attest that you'll never do it again. Here, then, is our problem. Our problem is calling upon, again, that's why we don't want to play games. You want to call it heaven and earth. Calling upon God to testify that I'm never going to do something again, that's very dangerous, because God actually knows if you're going to do it again. So therefore, should a lot of people perhaps save their money, not bother paying their dues for Yom Kippur, because they're going to do it again, and therefore this whole thing was a waste of time. As I said, that is one way to read the Rambam. The only problem with this way of reading the Rambam is that it gives all of you more anxiety then perhaps you need this time of year, but it's still a good Rambam, and the way I read it was completely fair. Problem is that sounds at this point irrelevant, because what the Rambam said, that would all be good till I got God involved. Why in the world do we have to get God involved in our religion? Why don't we leave God out of this? This is the problem over here, because God actually knows what's going to happen, which is it's bad enough bringing heaven and earth as your witnesses, but over here, that's why I said that there's this parallel over here, that calling upon God till God will testify about this, that seems to be problematic. Now, those of you who have anxiety right now, first of all, be aware that there's another side to this. The other side to this is, first of all, presented in Sefer Hemunot Vadeot by, again, Rav Sadia Gaon. So Rav Sadia writes as follows: Amar b'tfilah v'tzdaka b'chesed v'ashe yichupar v'on v'yirat Hashem yisara u'vishiv b'nei adam l'mutav amodap shem darkecha v'aver od ki adam kasher yaskim ba'et tshuvato b'lev shalem shelo yishane. When a person in Source 13, when a person sincerely with a full contrite heart decides that they're never going to go and to sin again in this particular area, tia tshuvato mekubelet, his tshuva is accepted. Ve'im tasiyo hata'ava acharken l'shanot, and if temptation nonetheless brought them back to repeat their sin, ein tshuvato nifsedet, their tshuva was not lost. Ach yimchalu lo ha'avonot, shiyu kodem ha'tshuva. All of the sins that the person did prior to this were erased. And they'll be responsible for what they did afterwards. Even if we do this on a yearly basis. So Rav Sadia Gaon comes out and says, again, very, very clearly, and it sounds very, very different from the Rambam, he comes out and he says that if every single year you're 100% sincere in Yom Kippur, Basher Husham, every year you are sincere on Yom Kippur, but temptation gets the best of you the next day, and you give in to temptation. Sheyashuv achar kach ken yishane lachet, ein katzor no kimashe acher. Hatshuva kishtiye b'chol pam da'ato shleima v'libo tov shelo yishane. So each time that you're sincere and you say to God, I'm sorry, that works. Even though, and therefore, it starts a new chapter, a new list, and the old ones are already wiped out. And it could be that the Sefer HaChinuch had this in mind. It could be. Look at the Sefer HaChinuch in Source 14. Look at Source 14, the Chinuch. U'mishershei mitzvah hamoed hazeh. Here he is describing Rosh Hashanah. Shayom Michazdei Hakel Al Borav Lefkod Otam Vlerot Maseim Yom Echad Bekol Shana Vishana. Why does God judge us every year, one day a year? Kedei Shelo Yitrabu Havonot V'Yomakom L'Kapara. That our sins should not add up. Now, hold it a second. What do you mean your sins not add up? So he seems to be saying that this is a very effective way of dealing with it, because each year you wipe out those sins. But what if you come back to the same sin? So it sounds to me, he doesn't say it as clearly as Rav Sadia Gaon, but I think he goes in the same direction. He's saying is that each year you are looked independently, and whatever was done previously was already dealt with previously. As I said, he's not as far as Rav Sadia, but it sounds as if it's in the same direction. The Lecha Mishnah, one of the commentaries on the Rambam, on the Mishnah Torah, in Source 15, the Lecha Mishnah does not accept this simple reading of the Rambam. And what troubles him is a side point which maybe didn't trouble us. He goes, if real tshuva is only going to be at the point that God is going to attest and so on, he goes, and then at that point you've lost your free will. Right? He goes, you've lost your free will at that point. And if man has lost their free will, so how can this possibly be? Look at Source 15. Umayi tshuva shezov achotei, v'idolav yodea talimot, v'im tomar, eich HaKadosh Baruch Hu ya'idolav kach, v'chein lo nishara b'chira b'yado. At that point, the person has forfeited free will. V'yomuim v'kadushin lo yamin, v'yesh lomu d'pirusho kach, shebishashu osa tshuva, tzorech sheyikabel alav la'ed, sheshem yitbarach, shelo yashuv l'zechet lolam. Going back to our parasha. Hold it. What did he just now say? He said it's not that God tests, it's rather that I need to have my tshuva sufficiently sincere to the point that I say I take God as my witness. Which means, hold it. He's saying there's a real big difference between the tshuva is only when God can witness that you never did do this again, that God knows the future, and to fact you never did again. He says, how can that be? Again, as I said, he's troubled with free will. There may be a better reason to say this than the free will reason, and that's actually what the Rambam wrote. But hold on a second. But what he's saying is that no, this is just like our parsha, that we take upon heaven and earth as our witness. We take upon God as a witness to say, God, I will never do this again. So therefore, you know, that takes a certain degree of sincerity for a person to be able to say, God, as my witness, I will not do this again. For the person to say that, they need to be quite sincere. That's real tshuva. On the other hand, what if they mess up afterwards? So they messed up afterwards. But at that moment, they were completely sincere. Now, Source 16 is the Avodat HaMelech. The Avodat HaMelech is a work which we have, unfortunately, only on a very small part of the Rambam. Most of the work was lost in the Holocaust. It was written by a man whose name is Rabbi Menachem Krakovsky. Rabbi Krakovsky was married to Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother's sister. Therefore, he was Rabbi Soloveitchik's uncle. Rabbi Soloveitchik is quoted in his commentary, I swear, twice where he quoted him. Both times he quoted him, it was at the point of time when Rabbi Soloveitchik was studying in Berlin, and Rabbi Krakovsky asked him to check a manuscript for him in the library in Berlin. So he sent back a message about what it actually said in the text. Rabbi Krakovsky was a great Gaon. It's actually the famous story, which may not be famous until I say it, but the famous story may have happened more than once, but one of the Krakovskys actually told me that it was by his wedding that two of his members of his family were invited. One was Rabbi Soloveitchik and the other was Rabbi Feinstein. Those of you who don't know that Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother's maiden name was Feinstein, but it was not the same as Feinstein as Rabbi Feinstein. But Rabbi Feinstein's father married a Feinstein who was the same Feinstein as Rabbi Soloveitchik's mother and as Mrs. Krakovsky. So therefore, easily. I'll say it again. Rabbi Soloveitchik's maternal grandfather was a Levi. His name was Feinstein, Eliyahu Feinstein. He wrote the Sefer called Halichos Eliyahu. That's Rabbi Elia that your father would speak about, correct?
Yeah.
Rabbi Eliyahu Feinstein, but he was a Levi, and he had a daughter who married Kukovsky, and a daughter who married a Soloveitchik, and he had another, and I'm trying to remember if it's a daughter, it wasn't a daughter, it was a sister, I believe, who married a Feinstein, another Feinstein, and that was Rav Moshe, and that was Rav Moshe's mother. So essentially, at this Krakowski wedding, you had Rav Moshe Feinstein and you had Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the person very cleverly did not work out who was going to be Masada Kedushin until everybody showed up. So then, when they were there, each one said to the other one, Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Moshe should be, the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva should be, and he said the Rav from Boston should be, and they were going back and forth. So finally, Rav Soloveitchik agreed to be Masader Kedushin, and he went up and he called for the first two brachas of Erisin, Rav Moshe Feinstein to say the brachas. Okay? So that happened at a Krakowski wedding. He's Masader Kedushin, so he called it Rav Moshe to make the brachas. This is his family, his descendants. They made it to America. He didn't. Anyway, so now that you have now that you all know the famous story, we can read the Avodas HaMelech. And what he does is, we didn't have to read it at all, he quotes Rav Yisrael Salanter, which is quite interesting. V'kvara iti laharav or Yisrael zal b'kuntrus kochvei or, those of you who didn't know, that is indeed Rav Yisrael Salanter. Sha'amar ha-seder divri rabbeinu shamana aziva tachet v'kabalot alaba v'achaka katav v'cheinin achem al sha'avar shehu acharata v'achaka katav v'yir alav yudeya talumot shelo shelo zechet la'olam. Shezesh shayach legedra kabbalah laba ve'ein sedu lemishna zesher tzarech lechtova yidol av yodei talumot acharvig mubilibol shalosei od. So I know I do. So I confused you. So hold on for one second now. I want to go back to the Rambam together and to see what it is that he just now said. But first, let's speak together for one second. Tshuva has different elements to it. I would say, if I didn't know better, well, one element is stop doing what you're doing, right? That we all decided. Another element is regret. It could be that regret is the most, and that could be that regret is the most important element of tshuva. I regret what I did. I regret. So you have regret, and then you have resolve, right? Are those the same thing? Regret. I regret what I did, and I resolve not to do it again, right? You eat that fourth piece of cake for dessert, yes? And I regret what I did. Will I have resolve not to do it next time? No. Till the next, no. I regret. I'm saying those are really two different things. One is past oriented and the other is future oriented. So, you think you have resolve. Okay. You notice I use four as the example because we only had three cheesecakes on the table at once. Okay. So, there was no resolve. So let's read again what the Rambam just now did. Okay, go back to source number 2, in the middle, halacha bet, in brackets, source 12, sorry. Uma hi hatshuva. What is tshuva? One, hu sheyazov hachote cheto. First thing the Rambam says is you need to stop doing what you're doing. Vayasirenu mimachshavato, right? Or by Yasiru Rimach Shavato, that you take it out of your mind, v'yigmor belibo shelo yaseu od. That is resolved towards the future. Quotes the Pasuk. V'chein, and additionally, yitnachem al sha'avar. And you have regret regarding the past. And then it says, he quotes the pasuk, "Shenema kiachar shuvi nichamti, v'yaid alav yodeya ta'alumot shelo yashuv l'cheit hazeh la'olam." So what the Avodat HaMelech was pointing out of the name of Yisrael Salanter is that the sequence is awkward. It should have been, "V'yaid alav yodeya ta'alumot" should have been at the point when he says, "V'yigmor belibo shelo yaseu od." He decides he'll never do it again, and then the response of heaven is, it's only real is, if he never does it again. But when does the point that he'll never do it again come in? It only comes in when he has regret for the past. So what he's saying is that this is an expression of how sincere his regret is, but is not an expression about how sincere his accepting for the future is, his resolve is. Now that makes a very big difference, and as I said, This is not the question of Lech HaMishnah, but hold it, what happened to free will? Rav Yisrael Salanter also knew how to learn. Rav Yisrael Salanter is pointing at and says, no, your regret needs to be sincere. How do I know that your regret is sincere? When I say, I feel so bad that I did this, I'll never do this again. But that's not the Kabbalah La'atid. Meaning that is not saying, I'll never do it again, that it's real. He's saying this is only coming in when it's modifying how real the regret was. So therefore, is the regret, okay, I'm sorry I did that. Okay, right? No, the regret needs to be the thing that I... So therefore, the way that he'd be reading this, not, again, it's not that till God testifies, but my regret is so real, I say by God, I feel bad what I've done, and by God, I will never do this again. But as I said, this, as far as Yisrael Salanter and Avodah HaMelech are concerned, this is really trying to explain not historical reality or future, sorry, not reality of the future, but it's really trying to describe the present tense on how this person feels right now and how much they have regretted the past. As I said, tshuva, that's part of the problem with tshuva, is that it really does stretch over the past, the present, and the future. So over here, is this only if you never did it again, then it's real? Because that's the first way we read that Rambam, and that's what got you all very, very scared, that if you ever come back to it, then forget it, it's over. Right? Changing behavior without regret is not tshuva. It's rehabilitation. And you don't need God. What I do want to point out is, A, in modern society, regret has been pushed aside. Because why have regret? Because you can write a book about it afterwards. Why have regret? You can go on late night television. Why have regret? And right. That's really the issue. It makes me who I am today, and therefore I don't regret anything that I've done. I think flying in the face of that is the idea of what is tshuva, and I'm going to say it again, on its core level, tshuva is regret. Stopping what you do, and again, we can play this game by taking out each element along the way. If I take God out of the element, I just want to start with that. If I take God out of the element, then again, go to the example of the person who had the affair. So they had an affair. Now they stopped having an affair. Why they stopped having an affair? Because they're afraid they're going to get caught. They're afraid they're going to get killed. They're afraid that they're going to lose people, lose respect. They're afraid of all kinds of things. But there's no God involved in it. Great. That's not tshuva. And there's no ability to cleanse the person. The cleansing elements of tshuva only take place in as much as there is regret. And the regret needs to be a regret, which is a regret in relationship to God. Now, and that's what I'm saying, is what Rav Yisrael Salanter is doing for us, is that he's taking the regret and he's showing us this is how strong the regret should be, to the extent that I'm saying I would never do this again, but not as a Kabbalah La'atid independently for the future oriented, but rather this is as strong as I feel this regret. What I do want to show you is, if you go back to source number 11, I remember I said to you that this whole halacha, the Rambam is really expanding on his introduction. Mitzvah seyachat v'hu sheyashuv achoto michato lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. Where's the lifnei Hashem? V'yeid alav yodea ta'alumot, to the point that God will come and to attest. So we are going to say a couple more things and then we'll stop. Does it look like vidui is the way to articulate it? Right. The reason that vidui is so important for the Ramban is that vidui is the vestige of the biblical commandment of saying vidui and doing tshuva in relationship to the korban. So what he's doing is he's taking the biblical example and now he's applying it in all other cases as well. And therefore, what he's saying is that, again, this is really what the Rambam is doing. Tshuva works together with the korban. A korban needed tshuva. The korban needed tshuva and vidui. Now we don't have the korban. Are we lost? No. We still have tshuva and vidui. The tshuva and vidui work without the korban. So therefore, even though you would have thought that those things can only go together, so therefore, no. Those things can go in, could work independently. So two more things. One, source 17 is a fellow, it's called the Beit Yitzchak. He's a fellow called Yitzchak ben Nissen Reitbard from Vilna. He tells us in his introduction to his book that he really does not have much original to say, and he collects things that he's heard over the years. He's very much a collector in source 17. So he writes two things which I think don't necessarily go very well easily together. One is, well, let's start at the beginning there of 70. Are you supposed to come and say vidui again in the subsequent year of something that you sinned on a previous year? So just keeping that in mind, maybe it'll make a difference if you sinned, if you did it again, you didn't do it again. So let's go back. But if you did those sins again, then you need to say vidui another Yom Kippur. What is the Gemara trying to say? Of course you have to do tshuva a subsequent Yom Kippur. Are you going to say that since I said I'm never going to do it again, that's it, I'm already cleansed when you did it again afterwards? Like, he goes, what are you talking about? Tshuva can only work for the past. Right? It's not like Kol Nidre. Maybe. Al mashakata avar. Velo alaba. Sheyachol lichto od. Emtaha. He goes, this is really quite surprising. Ach kavanat agmar hu kain. Amar harava now. Right, again, he's quoting. De ita baramba milchot tshuva. Vizil shomai tshuva. Hu sheyazov chote. This is our Rambam. Cheto. Visim imachshivato. Vigmor beliba shelo yaseo od. Ad sheyayid alav yodea tamulot. Shelo yashuv lezeachet laolam. Ad kan. Ayin sham. Vizek kavanat agmara. Veim shana bahim. If he did the sin again, hari iglui miltul mafreya, then it comes back to tshuva to loita tshuva mealya. He never did tshuva. Again, as I said, there are those who want to read it this way in the Rambam. That's it. You never did tshuva. The zot zarech levot shenit biyom kippurim acher alato achet atzmo. He goes, let's say I said, I'm never going to do this again, and I said this in 1985. And then I did it again in 1986. So he says in Yom Kippur 1986, of course you have to do tshuva for 1985. Why? Because the tshuva of 1985 never worked. Yeah. Right? This is not what Rav Saadia Gaon said. Achrei the old law said tshuva gemura ad yom kippurim ha'avar ve'ein tzarich lomad yaseh tshuva al chet hachadash she'asa. And then he quotes shamati devar zeh meharav Rav Asher, and he tells you who he got it from. Okay, ulafiza omar harav anal yochel yo the odim shechai shivim shana. Oshmonim shana v'yoter uvechol yom kippur masat tshuva uvechol zot hu nishar below tshuva acharei shishana ba'avlato achar yom kippurim lozot tzvichin lefashfesh v'maseinu. He's saying it could be that every year you say I'll never do it again, and you do it again. So he here is coming out with this strict approach. It could be therefore that as if you've never done tshuva. So the last source that I wanted to get to is source 18. It's a little long. So here is a lecture of Rabbi Soloveitchik on Mesechet Nedarim, which you should feel quite comfortable has nothing to do with anything that we've been talking about, or maybe it does. Katava Rambam b'perek bet b'hilchot tshuva. So guess where he starts? What do the Rambam say? That when you do tshuva, you need to call upon God to testify. V'olei ha'sheila l'shem eizu tachlit tzarich ha'shev l'kachat lo et ha'kadosh baruch hu la'ed. For what purpose do you need to call, again, look at the way he's reading the Rambam. Not that historically in the future I never did it again, but I need to call upon God as my witness. He understands, v'yid alav yodea tolmot, I call upon God as my witness, I'll never do it again. That's the way he's reading the Rambam. By the way, just for that, this is important, but there's more. Okay? La'ej makabalat, and by the way, that makes... And that is very similar to what we have in our parasha, right? Calling upon heaven and earth as our witness. Shaloh shaloh zechet lolam. Lama lo taspik kabbalah ba'alma beino levein atzmo. Why shouldn't it be enough for a person to say by themselves, I'll never do it again, and I'm going to point that again. That is not tshuva. That is rehabilitation. Once God is not involved in it, then you can't change the past. You can't erase the past. All that you can do is you can change your behavior moving towards the future. Hagemara b'yoma lomedim exerat akatuv shechayev a kohen gadol b'yom kippurim laskirat Hashem b'vidui kedei lakayim mitzvot kaparat devarim kadin. Ukenira sheharambam, and now you'll see very close to what I said. I said what I said before. I said that before I saw this the first time. Ukenira sheharambam hu hamakor lakol vidui tshuva shechayvim laskir bo at Hashem. That the Rambam seems to learn vidui from the kohen gadol or from the korbanot. You always need to bring God involved in it. So when you say Ana Hashem Chatati, you're calling upon God as your witness. And he's saying the reality is we do this every single time we say the vidui, when you say Ana Hashem, Chatati Aviti Pashati. Again, coming from the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Uvatem lekachata barosh hil chachuv, mitzvah asei echad, v'yoshuva chotei micheto, lifnei Hashem. And therefore it always needs to be lifnei Hashem, v'yitvadeh ad kan lishono. V'av shem balacha alef katav, and again he goes through the first perek of the Rambam, where he writes, the person needs to confess, lifnei hakel baruchu, in front of God. Ad kan l'shono. Kodesh Baruch Hu kivechol hu ha'ed b'davar ki shav lefanav be'emet. God is the witness that you have with sincerity returned from your sin. L'chora kol inyan tamua. But he goes, the truth is, all this is quite strange. Achaleinu l'tvanei lama zkukat tshuvat achotei l'shvua. Why should a person who does tshuva, why should they need a vow? Why should they need it? To the v'nir lahazbir at inyan apia yesod yadua. Okay, and here he's going to pull out of his back pocket an old favorite that he likes to use. There's two dinim. Shelakol ish ve'ish mibnei Yisrael yeshnei kedushot. Every single person has two types of holiness. Kedushat avot, we have kedusha which we have inherited from the patriarchs. Habalo moresha midor dor, which a person has inherited from generation upon generation. V'kedusha mishalo, and personal holiness. V'chein pirish Rashi et pasuk ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem lakecha uvacha v'charet Hashem liyot lo la'am skula mikol amim ashal p'nei adama v'zeh l'shon Rashi sham ki am kadosh ata kedushat atzmacha. You have your own holiness. Me'avotecha va'od b'char b'char Hashem ad kam l'shono. Pointing out that there's two different holinesses, one coming from God, Kedushat Atzmacha Me'avotecha, holiness that you have from the patriarchs, Va'od B'cha B'char Hashem, Klomar Shtek to Shotim, Echad Kedushat Atzmacha Me'avotecha, She'igia Lo B'Yerusha, U'Sheinit U'B'cha B'char Hashem, Ratzalom U'Lachol Ben Yisrael Yesh Lo Kedusha Mishalom. Shtek to Shot Halalu, these two aspects of holiness, Hur Sharshu B'Shtek Kritot HaBrit, Shemein Hashem Yitbarach V'Amo Yisrael. They were rooted in the two covenants which were made. Kritata brit b'chorev b'shat matan Torah. On the one hand, the covenant that was created in Yitro mishpatim at matan Torah. He abrit avot. That refers back to the brit that was made with the ancestors. Sha'al yadam nitkadash ador hu v'oto aktusha over Yerushami dor dor. V'ilu abrit aktuva b'parshat nitzavim. And now we're moving really to where we started today. Lo nichrata em oto dor bilvad, ela afal kol dor v'dor atzman. There it says, you, those of you who are here today, and those of you who aren't here today. V'mkol ish v'ish mi'Yisrael v'atzma atzof kol dorot kakatuv, v'lo atem levadchem anochi karet et abrit hazot, v'et ala hazot. Ki et asher yeshno po imanu amad hayom lifnei Hashem elokeinu v'et asher neinu po imanu hayom. That Sinai created a brit based on the avot, while the ongoing brit is based upon nitzavim vayelach and hazinu, really, which is, he continues to say, mikdorsh mekor kedush Yisrael who will be kritat brit. The ekev hachet v'chilul habrit nifgama kedusha shenat lo machmat habrit. So what happens when we sin? We didn't break the Ten Commandments. We're still obligated by the Ten Commandments. What happens when we sin? When we sin, we break the covenant from Nitzavim. That's what he says over here. We break the covenant from Nitzavim. And I'll read a drop more. When a person amnam v'noagei l'kedushat avot hanutza b'brit hamusarah l'kaisa mekoach avot ein koach liyachid l'pogma ulevatla ulama kedushat ha'ishit v'anitkadash yudim mekoach habritim kol yachid v'yachid mutnam b'nihug shel ha'yachid kasher hu chote hare pagum hu boto ha'kedushat tzulea b'brit zo uki yachid hu menatek et atzmo mi'abrit hazu v'chelek zeh shel kedushat Yisrael shelo mitchalel. That when a person sins, they've separated themselves. Again, they're still obligated to the Ten Commandments. They're still what happened by Sinai still obligates them. But this covenant by Nitzavim, he says, you've lost your personal Kedusha and you've lost your connection to Am Yisrael. But that's only regarding one part of this. Uvehetem lekach mezakika rambam et abal tshuva lachrod brit chadasha. Be a little careful. Therefore, you need to create a new covenant. You need to do it with a vow. In order to create a new covenant. And therefore, doing tshuva makes the person holy. And makes the person a new personality and a holy personality, which tshuva creates. Bekach musbar hatzorich l'shuv l'fnei akel baruch hu dafik yedsh baruch hu 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 shemikadsho. And that's why he says you have to do tshuva in front of God, because you're going to get new holiness that can only emanate from God. Kritat brit im boria olam tuna mamad shnei ba'alei habrit. In order to create a new covenant, you need both sides of the contract to be there. You need God to be there as well. Ha'adam im akadosh baruch hu. Right? Ein shluchim b'kritat brit. We'll skip towards the bottom. What he's troubled now is that before Rosh Hashanah we need Parshat Kitavo. That's what it says in the Gemara. On the other hand, what do we find? We find that they stuck in, we read what we also read last week, Nitzavim, before Rosh Hashanah. So he says, you know, why is this the case? Right, that's the paragraph I just now skipped. V'yalpi anal musbar hitev ma shehuva lamala shekol adam Yisrael she'ir ota ruach לחדש את הברית של התחייבות האישית לקיום המצוות בידו לשווה לזרזרי נפשי, ועם השבור קוראת ברית חדשה מקדש ברוך מן הברית שבפרשת ניצבים. כריתת הברית האישית היא היסוד בין של מצוות ובשמו תשבע, בין של מצוות התשובה, כי הידן מחדש הגברת ברית המצוות האישית בינו לבין הקדש ברוך הוא. He says the reason that we need to read פרשת Nitzavim is because when a person is going to approach God in Rosh Hashanah, a person is going to approach God leading in to Yom Kippur, we need to recreate the covenant which was broken, or the part of the holiness which was desecrated by virtue of sin. So as far as he's concerned, you know, let's just read the part I skipped. Ulaor ze muvnet habraita besof megillah. Ezra tikin lam nisor shiu karin klalot v'shebe mishnah Torah kodem Rosh Hashanah v'shor rabbeinu nisim gon l'fiza nitzrichim l'kor b'parsha kitavo v'lama nukurim dafka parsha nitzavim. We threw an extra parsha in before Rosh Hashanah. Why do we throw in nitzavim? Koshi ze midyashev bekach shekritat habrit b'kitavo einu nogat l'tshuva b'seret yimei tshuva shekein habrit b'kitavo humshech brit Sinai. Im klal Yisrael, v'hu brit avot shachotei l'olam lo yavad. Chatav shachotei pagma b'brit hayachid shebeparshat nitzavim. Ulenocha chidsha sho'eif adam v'eseret yimei tshuva shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim. Lafichach korim dafka miyotu habrit shenichrata im kol yachid v'yachid beparshat nitzavim. What the Rav ends up saying over here is that we need, now what did we understand in the beginning today? That nitzavim and vayelech and azinu are all together talking about this new covenant which is set up, where we call upon Hazinu Shemayim Ba'aretz. So therefore, the same way that we called upon God and we made this covenant, what's the problem of sin? We've broken the covenant. Why do we need, when we do tshuva, why do we need to call upon God to testify in order to recreate the covenant that we lost, to recreate the Kedusha that we lost by virtue of sinning? So as I said, the Rav over here has this whole other approach to this, which ends up, I think, leading us back towards this, towards the same place. So let's just put things in order, and we'll stop. That this week's parasha is absolutely connected to tshuva. The idea of calling in heaven and earth as testimony is not some kind of side point. Yeah, you could have seen it as testimony against us. Correct. Now, once it's against us, now once it doesn't rain, now once we had problems, and so on, we have to recreate a covenant. How do you recreate the covenant? So therefore, what the Rambam is doing over here is he's using this as the motif in recreating the covenant, and therefore tshuva needs taking God in, not just for the technical reasons that I said before, because without God it's just rehabilitation, it doesn't touch the past. He's saying even moving towards the future, you need God to be there for another reason, and what's that? That by virtue of sinning, we have lost part of our spark, part of our holiness. We need to recreate a covenant with God. To recreate the covenant, we need to make an oath. And that oath that we make when we do tshuva, that recreates the holiness. Does this have anything to do with the question, and what happens if you sin during the year? Absolutely not. It doesn't undo it at all. Nothing to do with that. If you sin during the year, so well, then what happens? You'll need to make a new covenant next year. Gemar Chatima Tovah.